Cassius Clay did his training at Miami Beach, and Hal Conrad talked with Clay in Miami.
Muhammad, it's exciting to be with you again. Let's forget the ballyhoo barrage and the name-calling for a moment, and tell me what you really think of Joe Frazier as a fighter.
Joe Frazier is then just a fighter. He's not a boxer. Joe Frazier's not a left jab artist. He throws a pretty good left hook, but not from the center of the ring. He don't hook off of jabs. Two, three, and four jabs and then a hook. Joe Frazier just gets in close, catches his men when they get a little tired. They always beat him the first two or three rounds. And finally, he'll slip up on them, figure them out, and tag them with a hard hook. And the fellows that he's knocked out haven't been the quality type fighters to get up and to keep coming. They just, when they do get up, they like suckers, walk right back into the punch. He knocked Ellis down, knocked Foster down, they walk right back into the punch. A good master boxer who can fight Joe Frazier like Ellis did for 15 rounds if it have to go 15. A good master boxer who could fight Frazier like Foster did for the first round, he'll work him. But Foster was 188 pounds, he was too small. But a good 215 to 20 pounds, such as myself, moving twice as fast as Foster, hitting twice as hard as Foster, much, much better than Ellis. I'm much, much better than Bonavina. I'm much, much better than Jerry Quarry. So this shows that Joe Frazier is a good fighter, but not a good boxer. And a good boxer, a good heavyweight, I would say Sugar Ray Robinson, our Kid Gavilana, Johnny Bratton, would just play with Joe Frazier.
He doesn't seem to be very impressed with your speed. He told me he thought that Mathis was faster than you are, or just as fast.
That goes to show you that he's shocked. Joe Frazier hates to admit it, but Joe Frazier got that title by beating Buster Mathis. So you've got to say that Buster Mathis was his fastest man, because he beat a big fella who wasn't ranked with me. And only I was in exile is why Joe Frazier got great. After defeating Sonny Liston, a man who was much better than Joe Frazier is now. When I was in the tour, I whipped Liston. Even when I wasn't as powerful as old as Iron Man, as strong, I didn't hit as hard. Joe Frazier was a kid coming out of the Olympics. And when I fought Zora Foley, that was my 10th title defense. Then they start recognizing Frazier after I won 10 titles. And I predict it will all come out in this fight. You will see a master, beautiful, flashy, dancing master and boxing artist meeting a good, good Olympic fighter. I didn't have to fight Bonavina. I didn't have to fight Quarry. I think if a man's a champion, he should defend his title without return clauses and fight them all. I could have just bided my time, got my license and everything, and fought Frazier for the big money. Thinking, well, if I lose, I'll be paid. No, I'm a fast sport. I went out and gave Jerry Quarry, the number one contender, who went 7 rounds with Joe Frazier, whipped him in 3 rounds, 3.5-year layoff, and I ended up super bad, as James Brown say. I was quicker than Frazier. I fought hard. I came off with extra power. Frazier wasn't that strong when he fought Bonavina, and as a matter of fact, the press couldn't get into Frazier's dressing room, and he wouldn't let me in. I found out why later, because he fainted from exhaustion. Now, I didn't have a mark on my face. My face wasn't beat to a pulp. I did something to Bonavina that couldn't be done. He was in better fighting shape than he was when he fought Frazier. So the 3.5-year layoff, and me being the real champion, coming back on a 6-week notice, whooping the two contenders who were Frazier's toughest opponents easier than he did, shows that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm the real heavyweight champion of the world. And when I step in that ring with Joe Frazier, this will be no contest. It won't be close. It won't be rough. It will be no contest. And he's always talking about he's going to come out smoking. Well, you tell Joe he can come out smoking, because I ain't going to be joking. I'll be pecking and a-poking, pouring water on his smoking. This might shock and amaze you, but I will retire Joe Frazier.
Do you ever get the feeling, Charles King, that you'd like to match Cassius Clay with Casey Stengel?
I have a feeling I've been there before. Incidentally, on a little sorrowful note, I'd like to bring to the attention of our audience Harold Lloyd, a great sports fan and one of the great actors of Hollywood, died this evening, age 77 of Hollywood.
He's the fellow that originated those cliffhangers, wasn't he?
That's
where
right.
Where he hanged from the ledge.
Where he did all his own stuff, too. He made Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier look like nothing, the way that guy would hang off the buildings.
You know, speaking of Cassius Clay, his brother, I believe his name is Rudy. I don't know the Muslim name, but anyway, he was defeated tonight, which might be something of an omen. We're sitting here in our mutual studios in New York, This is Van Patrick along with Charles King. Now let's get a little reaction around the nation. And let's switch out to the Motor City of Detroit, where Mutual sportscaster Dick Buller is waiting.
Here in Detroit, there are three locations showing the Ollie E. Frazier bout on closed-circuit television: Olympia Stadium, the University of Detroit Memorial Building, and the Fox Theater. Lincoln Cavalieri is manager of Olympia, where the Detroit Red Wings usually play their home games, and he gave us this late report.
We've sold 14,000 seats, including standing room. UAD has sold out their approximately 8,000 seats there, and Fox Theater sold out their 5,000 seats there. Yeah, I understand there's a few scalpers out in the front trying to sell tickets for $30. It's amazing that you see this in a closed-circuit thing, but it's happening. Some of the people have bought them tickets and they try to sell them. People are trying to get tickets all over now, and it's just one of those things that happen once in a century, I guess.
So, here in the Motor City, home for many years of that great heavyweight champion they call the Brown Bomber, Joe Louis, the sold-out sign is up at all locations.
A moment ago, you heard from some of the leading sports writers around the nation. Bob Considine is still with us, and Bob, let's hear from you.
You know, Van, every nation in the world wants a heavyweight champion. He's got to be the very best of his time, but there can be only one at a time. He can't stay there forever, either. If he makes it to the top, well, his manager, his trainer, his backers, and even his fans all think they had something to do with it. They were responsible. And in a way, I guess they were right. And when he fights alone against a man who wants exactly what he's got. There isn't room for both at the top. And later tonight, everyone in the world will know the name of the heavyweight champion of the world.
Let's get some reaction now in New York, and sportscaster Don Creakey is standing by, and Don is over at the Statler Hilton.
Van, I'm located at the Statler Hilton Hotel right across the street from Madison Square Garden. And one of the things you have to be impressed with is the tremendous job the New York City police are doing in keeping the flow of traffic moving. It was estimated earlier today there'd be upwards of 50 or 60,000 people concentrated in a one-block area during the fight, 20,000 inside the garden, and 30 or 40,000 milling around outside. Well, that's not going to happen because the police are keeping the traffic moving. And nobody who's not moving into the garden is allowed to stand around at all. There's electricity about the pre-fight atmosphere, as we'd expect. And everybody's waiting now. As here in New York, it's reported the odds on the fight are absolutely even. So we'll be talking to you after the fight. Now back to you, Van Patrick.
All right, Don. And Tim Ryan, earlier today, talked to a former champion, Gene Fulmer, and also Jose Torres.
George Foreman, the man who many think will be the next heavyweight champion after this issue is settled here tonight. George, how do you see this fight?
Well, I see it as a close fight. You know, they'll determine who will be winner when they face out there in the ring. I know there's no other way of telling, you know, before then. These are both winners, and they're going to both be trying to win. They're not going to settle for a loss, as far as I'm concerned.
This is the classic confrontation, so they say, between a boxer and a slugger. How do you see that confrontation? Does one have an advantage over the other?
Well, they're both, you know, got a lot going for them. Joe Frazier has beat everybody available as far as he's concerned. In a title contention, and he's recognized as the champion. I recognize him as a champion.
That was George Foreman. Incidentally, we were at ringside, Charles, in Mexico City when George Foreman won the Olympic gold medal for winning the heavyweight championship. And, of course, he just sort of electrified the world and captured the hearts mainly of Americans when he waved that tiny American flag.
And you and I sat there and we saw him, and that crowd came to its feet that night.
I mentioned a moment ago that Tim Ryan was talking with Gene Fulmer and Jose Torres, and he is.
Former middleweight champion Gene Fulmer. Gene, you're all the way from Salt Lake City to see this fight, so you must have some opinion on it.
Yes, I do have opinion. Of course, I'm writing a story or two for Boxing Illustrated magazine, right? Boxing Illustrated, and so they brought me in to view it and give my comments. And I feel very strongly that Frazier's going to win the fight. And if he doesn't, of course, I'm going to have to eat a lot of crow. But I've had to do that before with Moan.
Gene, there's some similarity in his style and yours as a middleweight. Did that influence your opinion?
I try not to think that it did, but I'm sure that it must have because, the better boxers feel that Clay's going to win and the sluggers more or less lean toward Frazier, so I'm sure that there must be some influence in this. Of course, in judging fights, which I've done some, and every other boxer, I'm sure, has been asked to this sometime or another, we kind of like what we thought we were, and kind of lean that way a little bit. So I'm sure this probably has some part of influencing my prediction on Frazier.
Now, you defeated Ray Robinson, who was a classic boxer, of course, so there's a parallel there, too, for Joe Frazier. How did you beat him, and do you think that Joe used the same attack?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I beat Robinson by putting pressure on him, which is the only way that a slugger can beat a boxer. If you stand back and try to box with him, they'll box your ears off. But if you move in and throw punches and keep covered up, and when you get in close, throw the blows and move far enough away, they're not going to hit you. That's the only way you can do it. And like you say, I did beat Robinson. I beat him 2 out of 3 times. But the second time, of course, he hit me with that one punch that turned the lights out. And I'm not discounting the fact that Clay can't do that to Frazier. I mean, Clay can punch sharp, and he can punch hard, and he can knock you out with one punch, and he can do this. But I definitely feel that if this does happen, he'll be taking a beating up, too, and that time.
Thank you, Gene Fulmer. Former light heavyweight champion Jose Torres. And Jose, how do you see this fight tonight?
I said, reluctantly, I'm picking Frazier, hoping that I'm wrong, and that Ali wins the fight.
Knockout or decision for Frazier?
Oh, knockout.
When?
If Muhammad Ali goes over 7 rounds, nobody can beat him. I think he'll be the winner. But if he, in other words, if he can take the pressure for the first 7 rounds, he's going to be unbeatable. But I don't think he'll be able to take the pressure for the 7th round.
We'd like to remind you that portions of tonight's broadcast were taped prior to broadcast for release during this sports special. We now pause 10 seconds for station identification. Over this, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And this is 920 on the AM dial, 95.9 on the FM dial, KDHL AM and FM in Faribault, the time 13 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock.
This is Charles King with Van Patrick. Van, the big moment may be near.
Well, Charles, after sundry introductions of former champions, the house at Madison Square Garden rose to give Joe Louis a tremendous ovation. As you know, Joe has been very ill. He's been out in Denver, Colorado, convalescing. Cassius Clay, resplendent in a red robe, he calls the King's robe, was the first to enter the ring to a mixed chorus of cheers and hoots and boos. Mohammed wore high white boxing shoes with several red tassels on each, and he stood in his corner sort of jigging around, smiling at friends and winking. Then he put a savage frown on his face and pretended to be throwing lightning punches as his fans howled in delight. Frazier came in 2 minutes later, preceded by his armed bodyguard. Smoking Joe wore a short-length green robe tied with a yellow sash. Mohammed was cool and almost casual, laughing as Frazier was sweating heavily. And twice, Clay danced across the ring and bumped into Frazier, who glared at him. In round one, Clay took the first round as he outboxed Frazier and landed most of the punches. Clay landed the first 7 blows, including 2 good left hooks, as Frazier tried to get inside. And when Joe landed 1 good body punch, Clay tied him up and then mugged to the crowd that he wasn't hurt.
We are not at ringside. What you have just heard is a summary of round one as received from the wire services.
And?
Now, I don't want to imply that any of you are in a rut when it comes to buying gasoline. But really now, don't you have the habit of going into one station most of the time? One where you get quality gasoline and good service? Well, fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I just wonder what you do when your gas gauge is getting down toward empty and you're out in a different neck of the woods. Then how do you know the best place to get your gasoline? Well, my advice is to always follow the North Star, because at Reverend's North Star Station, across from the courthouse in Faribault, you'll find gasoline that's the highest quality, a price that's a little bit less, and glad to have you service, just like you came there all the time. And what's more, at Reverend's North Star Station, you can use either their own North Star credit card or any oil company credit card that you carry. So when you're getting low on gasoline, and you're sort of lost as to where to go to get gasoline, just remember this. Find the North Star. Yes, the North Star at Revlon's North Star in good old Faribault.
You know, Charles, physically, the advantages appear to lie with Cassius Clay. He's one of the largest men ever to reign as the heavyweight champion. Frazier is one of the smallest. The 29-year-old Clay is nearly 4 inches taller at 6'3", and he has a 6.5-inch reach advantage at 80 inches and also is heavier. He weighed 215, and I believe, if memory serves me, that's about a half a pound more than he has ever weighed for a fight. As a matter of fact, Frazier came in, too, at 205, and he's heavier than he has ever been for a fight. Clay, admittedly, is faster, and his punching power, often underrated, can be testified to by his 25 knockouts in 31 consecutive victories. Frazier, whose biggest assets are his power, non-stop determination, and ability to weather the firestorm of the ring, has 23 knockouts in 26 fights. I don't know, after watching Frazier, he looks like sort of a motorized Rocky Marciano, if you remember how Rocky used to bore in from the opening bell.
I certainly do. I think both of them are great as far as left hooks are concerned, because Ali is fast with the old 1-2 left hook, which is better than most fighters. But Frazier, I gather most sports writers think, can give him credit for having power in each fist. But the left hook, again, does the most damage to anybody. And he will duck in and out. But did you see the Bonavino fight?
Yes, I did. And as a matter of fact, I was a little disappointed in Clay's performance in that. And he had to score the knockout in the 15th practically to win the fight.
Well, he claimed, of course, that he just wasn't ready for it. I saw some pictures of him this week where he had practically a big belly. And, you know, he just said he was not in shape. But he certainly is in shape for this one.
You know, Clay has never recognized Frazier as the heavyweight champion, and neither has the cult that has grown up around Clay. Clay was at the height of his ability in 1967 when he was stripped of the championship and banned from boxing for refusing to go into the Army. And of course, we remember him well, and I'm sure our listeners do too, because at that time we were broadcasting live and direct and covering all of the Clay fights, the heavyweight championship fights. But not until October 26, last year, after a lengthy court battle, was Clay permitted to fight again, and he made his return in eloquent style, stopping Jerry Quarry in 3 rounds on December the 7th. He became the first man ever to stop the hulking gentleman from Argentina, Oscar Bonavina. Now let's take a look at what happened, Charles.
Just as a reminder, we are not at ringside, and what you are hearing are summaries of preceding rounds. Ben?
All right, and here's what happened in round two at Madison Square Garden tonight. Cassius Clay did less dancing and more punching in the second round. And also, according to the reports on UPI, he also took that second round. At the end of it, he waved at Frazier and motioned to the crowd that he didn't consider the champion very much. Clay landed most of the punches again in the second round.
And that's how things stood at the end of round two.
Yes, it's a fact. Revlin's North Star Station in Faribault is the fastest-growing service station in the Faribault area.
The two men, Frazier and Clay, are so different in their styles, both in and out of the ring. They were kept apart throughout preparations for the bout, avoiding any face-to-face confrontation until they were nose-to-nose in the center of the ring to hear their final instructions before the tolling of the bell tonight. Even the weigh-ins were held separately for the two. Frazier emerged from his secret headquarters where he was hidden away on Sunday after a threat on his life to weigh in first, and he was to be followed by Clay to the scales in the same 20-foot square where they are fighting tonight. And after threats were received that Frazier should lose or else, the 27-year-old champion's headquarters were shifted to another hotel here in New York, and the security force that has followed him throughout the last weeks of the growing drama was strengthened even more. And they even accompanied him down the aisle way tonight at Madison Square Garden. It has been an emotional confrontation since that day in January when the contracts were finally signed after 3.5 years of waiting. Both fighters are black, but Clay has called his opponent the White Hope and an Uncle Tom because Frazier more closely meets that ethic of white, middle-class America, as the modest, soft-spoken boy who came out of the scratch out an existing farmland of South Carolina to gain fame and money for fighting his way to the top. It's the story that Joe Louis wrote the first chapter to a generation ago.
Charles? Van, tonight this broadcast is being carried to the facilities of the American Armed Forces Radio Service to our men in uniform, Americans serving all over the world. And we pay tribute to the young and the young at heart Americans who represent and service in foreign lands. They are still Americans at heart.
Gentlemen, we salute you.
All right, Charles, here's what happened now in round three at Madison Square Garden. Frazier took the third round by a narrow margin, according to UPI, when there was a very slight trickle of blood from his left nostril. Frazier got inside more often in the third and landed several thumping blows to the body and to the head. The round ended with Frazier pummeling a covered-up Muhammad Ali in Ali's corner.
What you are hearing is a summary of a wire service. We are not at ringside. What you are hearing are summaries of preceding rounds. You know, that goes back, Van. We were talking about the ability of each of those men before, the boxing ability and the best punches and so on. When it comes to infighting, they say Ali wants no part of it.
Well, I tell you, you know, most of the fellows who were picking the fight tonight were pointing out that if it went 15 rounds, then Clay could possibly be the winner by a decision. But they figured that Frazier had to catch him early. And Frazier, after having a little trouble evidently in the early stages, is now coming on a little bit at Madison Square Garden in that fight tonight.
It's an amazing thing. Like, you go back to the Bonavina days. Frazier had two tough fights with Bonavina. He didn't look too good in either one. He won, but the point is that Bonavina... Do you think he's an underrated fighter? Do you think that if there wasn't a Frazier or a Muhammad Ali, that Bonavina might well be the number one?
I don't think so. He's sort of a crude type fighter who's just tough and absorbs a lot of punch. But he's sort of the George Chavallo type of fighter who's rugged and almost indestructible. But you know, Clay, they say he's not a devastating hitter and that he always scored his knockouts apart from the phantom punch of the second Liston fight. And I'll never forget that one. We were in Lewiston, Maine to broadcast that fight. And Russ Hodges, I believe, was with us on the broadcast, and Bill Stern. And I happened to look away for a second, and of course I missed the knockout punch. But I discovered later that many other people who were gazing intently at the center of the ring also missed the knockout punch.
They still call it the phantom punch. Nobody seems to have seen it, but obviously somebody must have felt it. You know, Ali has a strong chin. As many of the... Tony, we were talking before. Let's go back to Foreman for a moment. How do you rate... You personally rate George Foreman versus the two top men we have fighting tonight?
Well, I think the best way to talk about Foreman is the fact, Charles, that he is not ready yet. And I think that his manager, Sadler, is doing an exceptional job in bringing him along slowly. And I know that they'll be clamoring now for... a Foreman winner of this fight tonight between Frazier and Clay. But I believe that the youngster, Foreman, is still at least one more year away, and I certainly hope that they'll keep him out of there at least for another year.
You don't think that he's about ready?
No, I really don't. I mean, we've watched him now in about three fights as a professional, and I just don't feel he's ready. He's a big, strong kid, and he's still growing. He can punch with either hand, and he has speed, but I just don't think he has the ring knowledge, the savvy that he needs now to fight a Clay or a Frazier.
There's some discussion now about whether Frazier will win or lose, stay in the boxing game.
Well, you know, you always hear that. Fighters retire more than Sarah Bernhardt, as you know. They retire until they run out of money, and then they're right back fighting again. How many times you hear Clay say,
"Oh yes,
I'll never fight again." I mean, even before he was suspended, he said he would never fight again, but he still fights.
While we're waiting for more news from our wire services, why don't we pause 10 seconds for station identification. Over this, the Mutual Broadcasting System.
7 degrees, this is 920 on the AM dial, 95.9 on the FM dial, KDHL in Faribault. The time is exactly 10 p.m. in Minnesota.
This is Van Patrick, along with Charles King in the Mutual Network Studios in New York. And now let's take a look at what happened in round four at Madison Square Garden, which is now past history. Frazier also took the fourth round, and now he was getting inside and staying inside. Frazier landed three hard left hooks in the last minute of the round, while most of Clay's shots in the session bounced off Joe's head. In his corner, after the fourth round, Clay, seemingly, according to the reports, was very solemn.
What you just heard was a summary of the last round. We are not at ringside. The reports are received from the wire services. And that's how things stood at the end of round four.
Say, Mr. Motorist, have you discovered that the North Star can be your guide to greater motoring economy and pleasure?
You know, they've talked so much in the buildup of this fight tonight about how strong Cassius Clay is. He's one of the biggest heavyweight champions of all time. Now, he is strong, but so is Joe Frazier. And no amount of bluster is likely to deter Smoking Joe, who is a raging, bobbing, weaving, rolling swarmer who moves in one basic direction, right at his opponent's stomach. And he loves that left hook. His short arms pump like pistons, pumping away with such mechanical precision that he consistently throws between 54 and 58 punches each round. He works almost exclusively inside, crouching, moving in to slam the body. And when the pummeling begins to slow his opponent, when the guard drops to protect that midsection, Frazier then goes to that left hook. And I saw him fight Bob Foster in Detroit. And Foster just didn't have any recollection of what hit him when Frazier unloaded. Frazier is a lot faster than most people give him credit for being. And his trainer has been showing him films all during his training session, not of Cassius Clay, but believe it or not, of Henry Armstrong and some of the other welterweights and middleweights and fighters who move fast, and teaching him how to move with them and cut them off at the pass, so to speak. And that's what he's trying to do tonight to Cassius Clay at Madison Square Garden.
A great fight in progress. I think boxing has come back. I think this network actually had a lot to do with it, Van, and the STP Fight of the Month, which we started last year. But it's good to see boxing back. I can remember as a youngster, we used to see the boxing matches in the hometown. And there were the youngsters were coming up, and boxing was something. It changed over the years. I'd like to remind you, we are not at ringside. And what you will hear is a summary of round five coming up as we see from the wire services.
And in round five, Clay took the fifth round when he went back to long-range boxing and bounced lefts and rights off the head of the oncoming Frazier. At one point, Frazier dropped both hands and came in bobbing and weaving and laughing at Clay, daring him to punch him. Well, could get a little dangerous around Madison Square Garden if that happens.
Ever see a red lemon? I got one. With four doors and eight cylinders and a rear view mirror.
Maybe your car runs like a lemon. And maybe what you've got is a dirty carburetor. Because that's all it can take to make your engine run rough and lose power. But there is a solution. It's at your service station right now. New improved STP gasoline treatment. Now it cleans carburetors better, even cleans spark plugs better. Actually helps keep your car in tune as you drive. And a better tuned engine is a better running engine. New improved STP gasoline treatment. Add a can next time you fill up.
That STP gas treatment's really something. They ought to call it lemonade.
New improved STP gasoline treatment. You'll feel the difference.
Charles, I thought Time magazine this week did an excellent story on this fight, and they talked about Joe Frazier being the second youngest of 13 children. He was raised in a four-room shack on a farm outside Beaufort, South Carolina. And on the day he was born, his father prophesied that little Joe would be his famous son. And when Joe was old enough to tend the hogs and plant the okra on the family's 10 acres, he stuffed a feed bag with rags, hung it from an oak tree, and began punching away. "You're going to laugh," he kept telling his brothers and sisters, "but I'm going to be the next Joe Lewis." Frazier's mother was a real church-going lady who taught him respectfulness, but he began questioning things that black kids were not supposed to question. Nicknamed Billy, supposedly, because he could hit like a billy club, he was soon getting into scrapes with the man. And so Joe got a little fighting in his early stages. Now, Cassius Clay, as I'm sure almost everybody in America who can read or listen, figures that they know just about as much about Clay as we do. He hung around Louisville long enough to graduate 376th in a high school class of 391. Then he flew to Rome for the 1960 Olympics, won a gold medal as a 178-pound light heavyweight, and returned home to a reception that crippled the town. And so Clay, you know, was handled in his early stages by a group of Louisville businessmen, but he finally broke with them and went out with Angelo Dundee and was going great till he got into trouble with the United States Army.
You know, Clay was, as you know and as I know, very much underrated when he first went into the ring. In fact, when he won the world title 1964 by dethroning Sonny Liston, he was an 8-1 underdog. And tonight, the odds were pretty close as far as his fight against Frazier's concerned. I read something cute about Frazier some time ago. He took a day off, but he suddenly awakened at 2 a.m., was very edgy. He awakened his sparring partners, made them go outside for road work. He usually does this at 6 o'clock in the morning, but he says, "When I run, man, everybody runs." We are not at ringside, and what you now will hear is a summary of round 6. As received from the wire services.
Well, Cassius Clay, using his left jab, often like a long spear, had the edge in the 6th round. Frazier kept boring in, taking shots on his head in order to pound body blows that did not seem to upset Cassius Clay. That's the way round 6 went at Madison Square Garden.
As I told you before, when Frazier says, "When I run, everybody runs," I imagine, and I've stood next to this man, if he looked at me and said run, I think I'd be running a darn good mile, even if I couldn't move getting, you know, in or out of the ring. You've talked with him many times. What's your personal impression of Joe Frazier?
Well, you know, Joe finds his peace in cars and music. He lives in Philadelphia, has about a $125,000 home in suburban Philadelphia. And he has a 6-car garage, and he has 6 cars. And he probably, if he wins tonight, will pick up a couple more and park them out in the street. In addition to the cars, he has a motorcycle that he guns down the country roads at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour. Now, he is handled by a group that formed a corporation called Cloverleaf. And they are handling his affairs, and as you pointed out earlier tonight, Joe actually will come out of this fight tonight with more money to him than Clay will receive by something like $200,000, the way they have it figured out. Now, you asked me about Frazier. You know, when you talk to him, he doesn't want to talk to you about fights. He wants to talk to you about his music. And he's got a sort of a bluesy rock and roll band called the Knockouts, and he sees the music as his future. He figures that with the music, he'll be able to spend a little more time at home and or take his family around with him and not go into the heavy training. And he opened his act, if you recall, out in Las Vegas a year or so ago and suffered a broken ankle out there. But he got so carried away by the rock band that backed him up.
Well, he's no better or no worse than some of the singers I've heard recently on various radio stations and on some of the records which my children play out.
You said that about Frazier. I didn't.
I said no better or no worse. Now, this doesn't mean he isn't the greatest or he isn't the worst, but what I've heard him sing, I've understood the lyrics, and that's something.
That is. It
that's
really
half
is.
Of it right there and then, I'll tell you.
Well, there's no question about it. If he can win this fight tonight here in New York, he will be a big drawing card on the nightclub circuit, and he can pick up a lot of money, but I don't think he'll ever see a payday again like the one he's receiving tonight. It's almost unbelievable when you stop to think that promoters would put up a total of $5 million, top money, put it in escrow, and give each fighter $2.5 million. We were talking about it in the studio earlier today, and I said, you know, probably they could have got away if they'd offered maybe $1 million to each fighter. But that ruled out a lot of promoters.
$2.5 million per man. But, of course, there are a lot of cuts out of that, too. A lot of people have to be paid. I guess a lot of it's written off, but you still walk away with $1 million out of $2.5 million. It's not bad.
No, that's true. That's not bad. I mean, that's a great payday, and the greatest sports payday in history.
If Muhammad Ali wins tonight, Van, what do you think the future holds for him, excluding the review in the Supreme Court?
Well, that, of course, will be his prime concern, and he will give you the impression that he's not too concerned about what the courts will do. But I just don't believe that. We spent a lot of time with Clay when we were broadcasting the heavyweight championship fights live. You know, it's an interesting thing about Cassius, and I still call him that because I don't recall anywhere he legally has changed that name, but maybe he has. But, you know, when you talk to him individually, he's a very exciting young man. But if one other person shows up, he's on stage. At the weigh-in today, he put on a show that you likes of which you've never seen. And he screamed and yelled all during the weigh-in today.
I like to remind you, we are not at ringside. And what you hear during the round summaries
is a summary of the rounds as received from the wire services.
You know, I talked with Cassius Clay's wife today. She was having lunch at Toot Shores, and Gene Alanek, Wick, and I were at the next table. And I started to walk by her. We had a tape recorder with us, by the way, and we were interviewing some of the folks there. And there happened to be a young man with them who recognized the old announcer and spoke to me. And I said, you know, Mrs. Clay, I'm not going to ask for your comment on the fight tonight. And she says, well, I know only two words about fighting. No comment.
Reminder, we are not at ringside. What you will now hear is a summary of round seven as received from the wire services.
Clay's boxing skill and reach kept him in charge in the seventh round. Once again, he finished the session with a contemptuous wave toward Joe's corner. Near the end of the round, Frazier backed Clay into a corner, and he pummeled him in the body, landed two shots to the head, while Clay contented himself with jabs. Both times, Clay shook his head, and I imagine that would indicate that he wasn't hurt.
And that's how things stood at the end of round seven.
Remember back when people used to pick the best eating place on the highway by watching where the truck drivers pulled in? Well, you can find some pretty good restaurants that way, you know. It's a good way to find a service station, too.
You know, Cassius Clay did his training at Miami Beach. And if you've ever seen a Clay fight or watched them on television, there's one fella in the corner that makes a lot of noise and puts on quite a show. And that's Bundini. He and Clay fell out one time, but they got together again. He's the corner man, the personal mystic, who calls him the blessing of the planet, a handler whose sole job is to sort of comb Clay's hair. But he's been with him now, off and on, since the beginning of Cassius Clay. He was warned by the boxing commissioner not to make too much noise at ringside tonight, but I don't imagine, although you and I are in the studio and not at Madison Square Garden, I would imagine that Bo Dini is making a lot of noise tonight as he yells for Clay to hammer away at Joe Frazier. Well, the fight, I don't know. I don't think it's been a surprise so far. It's been a little bit of what I might have expected in the fact that it sort of seesawed a little bit. And when the fighter fights his type of fight, when Clay jabs and stays away and moves, he's the Cassius Clay. And when Frazier moves in and is able to catch up with Clay, well, then he's Joe Frazier. So I have not I've been surprised so far. Have you?
I have not at all, and I'm waiting now for the summary of the next round to remind you that we are not at ringside. And now what you will hear is a summary of round eight as received from the wire services.
Well, in round eight, Frazier pressed the attack and took the eighth round, part of which Clay devoted to clowning, which is surprising. Twice, Clay stood along the ropes and playfully pushed away Frazier's hands in sort of patty cake fashion. When the referee broke them and told them to fight, Clay told Frazier to come on in. Frazier landed most of the blows.
Spring, that time of year when most men head their cars in for a tune-up. New point, new plug, a fresh supply of motor oil. And then, of course, there's always that extra edge. STB Oil Treatment.
Clay evidently, after eight rounds, looks in better shape and has gotten himself into condition. He had a three-year layoff, as you know, and that is no question. That would take a lot out of a young man. And Clay, in the first two fights that he had, the one against Jerry Quarry and the one against Oscar Bonavina, did not look like the Cassius Clay of old. And for him to win this fight tonight, it would seem to me that he'd have to be in much better shape. And one thing that he'll have to be able to do better, and that is to move backwards, and because he's got to stay away from Joe Frazier. Now, can Clay, slowed but still the swiftest heavyweight around, dance out of destruction's way? Can he utilize his superior reach to stave off the bull-like onslaught of his attacker, Joe Frazier? And can he wear down the relentless machine that is Joe Frazier? Conversely, can Clay, who is able to hit sharply with either hand, outgun Frazier, who is more of a one-arm fighter, and can, in short, the boxer beat the slugger? And that's exactly what we've been having now, Charles, for eight rounds.
I guess so. You know, surprisingly, you say Madison Square Garden, and that is synonymous with great fights. Surprisingly, the first heavyweight championship fight in Madison Square Garden was held in 1916 on March 25th. And that was when Jess Willard won over a
They went over one Frank Moran. And that was even before your time, Van, which is saying something. I know it's before Frank Miller's. Some of the great fights, some of the great moments, the old Madison Square Garden.
Why don't you recall?
Which is now something. Well, I recall some of them.
You saw some of them.
I didn't see that many, I'll tell you that. I like the old Madison Square Garden. Tell me the difference. What do you think the difference is in today's Madison Square versus the old arena, which is right down the street from us here?
I like the new Madison Square Garden. I think it's a beautiful arena, and, of course, as you say, it's the shrine of boxing and also now for other sporting events because the New York Rangers play there, the New York Knickerbockers, and also they hold college games there and many other events, the circus. But it's just a great building, and I think when you visit New York, if you get the opportunity, you should go have a look at Madison Square Garden. You know, funny thing about it, but the old building, you know, all you had to do was walk in the door, and you could just hear the memories whispering around in the wind in the corners, the crevices of that building.
I'd like to whisper something now out loud. We are not at ringside, and what you are hearing during these rounds is a summary of rounds as received from the wire services. Ma'am?
Well, you know, four of the most trumpeted fights of the 1960s were the two Liston-Floyd Patterson matches and the two Liston-Clay bouts. And actually, they sort of added up to a farce in about four acts. And Cassius Clay, in the fight in Miami when he won the heavyweight championship, the round before he won the title from Sonny Liston, he was screaming in his corner that he could not see, that he'd been blinded by some solution on the gloves of Sonny Liston. And he actually wanted to quit. But he came back for the next round, and then Liston suffered the injured shoulder, and the fight was stopped.
We are not at ringside, but what you will hear now is a summary of round nine as received from the wire services.
You know, the mood of the crowd seemed to change before the ninth round began, and they were chanting, "Joe, Joe," for Frazier. Clay threw light punches as the round started, but he then landed with jabs to Frazier's face, and blood trickled from the champion's nose. But the action was noticeably slower for a while, and then picked up with Frazier scoring, although they do not tell us the voting on the round, how they thought the round went as to who was the winner.
But at least that's how things stood at the end of round nine.
No, I'm no mechanic, friends, but you know what I think makes some people's cars run better? Stop in soon at Revlin's, the place where thrifty people go. Revlin's across from the courthouse in Faribault, bringing you tonight's fight broadcast here on KDHL.
The Cassius Clay that Frazier is fighting tonight at Madison Square Garden is a different kind of fighter from the man who took Liston's heavyweight title away in 1964. That we were talking about a moment ago. Then he was calling himself Cassius Clay, and the slogan of his training camp, if you recall, was "float like a butterfly and sting like a bee." But at Miami Beach's Fifth Street Gym, the byword is he moves like silk, hits like a ton. And for good reason, Cassius no longer has that lean and hungry look. After 3.5 years of exile, he returned to the ring 4 months ago to dispatch California's Jerry Quarry with a third-round technical knockout. In defeating Quarry, Clay showed that he still had the lightning combinations and the darting moves. But there were two marked differences in his attack. He was a shade slower and a lot stronger. And that strength, actually, may turn out to be before this night is over. Well, these have made the difference.
These are really a couple of young guys as far as this fight game is concerned. You want to remember, Jersey Joe Walcott was 37 years old. The oldest man ever to win the heavyweight crown. And some say he was even older, but wouldn't admit to it. What do you think?
Well, I believe he was older. It's like Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
He talks a lot about step and fetch it, and he says he's the youngest 90-year-old that he knows.
Uh-huh.
But another old fellow is Satchel Paige, who was the baseball pitcher. I think he was around 54 or 55 when he came up to the major leagues, and Bill Veeck used to tell a story about him. They'd ask him about Satchel Paige, and he's the man who brought him to the major leagues. And he said at banquets they would ask him, "Bill, how old actually is Satchel Paige?" And he would answer, "I don't know, but he was freed by Lincoln."
What you are hearing is a summary of preceding rounds. We are not at ringside. And now here is a summary of round 10.
In the 10th round, Clay and Frazier fought on even terms. Frazier landing several powerful hooks to the head,
Clay countering with lefts and rights to the head. Frazier had a slight swelling over his right eye. And at one point, referee Mercanti broke them at close quarters, and Frazier stepped away. I imagine that he was complaining about the referee's action.
That was a summary of round 10.
Andy, do you hear something?
Yes, I hear a mechanic singing to a car.
Come on, I want to meet him.
Hold it, Dolly. He's singing our song.
Automobile, why can't you on the wheel?
From the switchboard, we learned that a lot of boxing fans are complaining because we've been calling Muhammad Ali Cassius Clay and Cassius Clay Muhammad Ali. Well, he actually has two names. His God-given name was Cassius Clay. His Muslim name is Muhammad Ali. He prefers to be called Muhammad Ali, but as I mentioned a little while ago, I don't recall it legally being changed. Maybe it was. But we are reading these reports from UPI, from AP, and from Reuters. And it's a funny thing. In the round summaries, they will call him Muhammad Ali in one sentence, and the next one will be Cassius Clay. So why don't we just call him Muhammad Ali for a while?
We'll do that, and I think everybody will be happy.
At least to give the girl on the switchboards a rest, won't it?
Poor little Connie. We're talking about old men who are winning fights and young men. Floyd Patterson, I'd like to talk about him for a moment, if you will. 21 years, 10 months, 26 days, which is pretty close to 22 when he won the crown. Now, you and I were at ringside, and we saw Floyd Patterson not too long ago in Miami when he fought the bellboy from the Fontainebleau, I think
Levi
was.
Levi 40.
Levi 40.
He was
back
tending bell the next day.
That's right, and he dripping orange juice all over the carpet. Floyd Patterson, is he going to come back and make any showing at all, Van?
Here again, we have a situation where Patterson may be past his prime, too, as far as fighting a man like Clay or Frazier. Floyd has money. He's well fixed. Why he continues to fight, I don't know. He's a perfect gentleman, a great credit to boxing. But he says, as he told us in Miami, that boxing's in my blood. It's the one thing I know. It's the one thing that I want to continue doing. But I just honestly, Chuck, I don't believe that Frazier could beat, that Patterson could beat Frazier or Muhammad Ali.
I think that Floyd Patterson looked good the night we saw him in Miami, but I think he'd look good against Frank Miller that night.
I think the fight that he will actually have will be against George Foreman. I think that'll be the next fight for Floyd Patterson. That'd be a good fight. It'll be a good test, too, for Foreman. It'll also be a good test for Patterson.
Like to remind you, we are not at ringside. What you are hearing are summaries of preceding rounds. And here now is Van Patrick with a summary of round 11.
And interesting indeed. Frazier staggered. Muhammad Ali with a thundering left hook after 2 minutes of the 11th round, and Muhammad almost went down. He spun into the ropes, and then on rubbery legs, managed to elude Frazier for the rest of the round. In the first minute of the round, Clay went down, but that was a slip, some water in Frazier's corner, and was not counted as a knockdown.
And that's how things stood at the end of round 11.
Now, I don't want to imply that any of you are in a rut when it comes to buying gasoline, but...
You know, I was just wondering, Chuck, the fact that Frazier caught Clay, and I was just going back now, reminiscing about that great fight between Joe Louis and Billy Kahn. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
And Billy Kahn was leading on points. He had the fight won. It was the 13th round. And then I guess Billy decided, well, I'll just put an end to the myth of Joe Louis and I'll knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe that might have happened down there in round 11?
Well, that was just one of those things. That was one of the great fights. In fact, I think that surprised Joe Louis as much as surprised anybody in the world, you know, the invincible. But, you know, the mighty must fall. What are you talking about, Joe Louis? Why do you think he never did come back, never could come back? Because he waited too long?
He waited too long. I really do. I remember that fight, too, with Rocky Marciano, when Marciano knocked him out, and Marciano actually cried that night because Joe Louis was his idol. Joe is a very good friend of mine. We played golf together. I spent a lot of time with him, and as you know, on many of our heavyweight fight broadcasts over many of these mutual stations, Joe was at ringside with us. I used to ask him, I said, could you beat Muhammad Ali? Could you whip him? He said, I could if I could catch him.
but you can't hide.
That's right. That's what he said about Billy Kahn. Yeah. You remember? He says he may be able to run, but he can't hide.
What about Rocky Marciano?
Well, you know, I've been spending the last week covering Major League Baseball spring training in Florida. And the other day I passed Rocky Marciano's home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It almost makes you want to cry because here was one of the great heavyweight champions of all time. Undefeated, Rocky Marciano, who lost his life in that plane crash out in Iowa.
To repeat, we are not at ringside, and what you are hearing are summaries of preceding rounds. And here's Van with round 12.
And interesting indeed again. Frazier staggered Ali again early in the 12th round with two left hooks. But Ali, though dazed, fought back with jabs during the rest of the round. Frazier won the round by a wide margin. Frazier had a slight cut inside his mouth, but he was the one landing the solid punches. The end of round 12. Promoters of this fight tonight, they started off talking about in terms that this fight might gross $50 million. You heard Bob Considine a little earlier in this broadcast say that $20 million might be a little closer now, and there are some who say, and we talked to some officials today, that it might gross far less than that, simply because there just aren't enough seats available in the theaters and the stadiums around the country that they're utilizing to show this fight on closed-circuit television. Or perhaps it's not that much money around to sell out all the seats across the country. You heard Dick Buller report in Detroit. They were sold out there. They're certainly sold out here in New York. But over in Europe, they were counting on a lot of seats being sold. But you've got to remember, there's, what, 6 hours difference in time? Well, what is it, 6 o'clock over there now? Mm-hmm. 5:30 in the morning?
Right.
Who's up watching that fight in the theater?
That's very true.
Too bad we don't make a call to one of those pubs over there and find out what's happening.
Having been to London, I assure you the pubs are not open this time of morning. If they were, Frank Miller would have been in them. One of the things, they could have had two Madison Square Gardens tonight, of course, because those tickets sold out in about 3 hours. Not the great, great big ones. I don't know what happened to those. That'll be another story, but most of the seats went.
You know, some of the most unhappy people in the world, Chuck, are the little fight promoters. The fellas across the country who have tried to keep the fight game alive. They have struggled. They have lost money repeatedly. But, you know, ironically, they were not given much of an opportunity to show this fight in their arenas and the theaters. It's sort of a show business type operation of this one. And they were not given the opportunity in most of them.
We'd like to remind you again that we are not at ringside tonight. We are bringing you 50-word summaries after each round as soon as possible after they are received from the wire services.
I'm looking forward to that 12th round, too, I'll tell you that.
Should be a good one. Do you think that either man or any man will ever see a $2.5 million gate again? I mean, purse.
Well, now, the promoters of this fight, as I understand it, at least they have been quoted as saying, that they have the contract for the return bout. And they hope that the fight will gross even more. But I doubt it. As a matter of fact, when the final accounting is made of this fight, I'm going to make a prediction for you, Chuck. I believe they're going to lose money. I really do.
On the overall fight?
On the overall.
Well, we're continuing with our summary reports. We are not at ringside. And what you are now about to hear will be a summary of round 13.
Round 13. Frazier won the 13th round by a solid margin, shaking off Ali's long punches, crowding him into corners. Frazier took a few punches to the head, landed solid shots to the body, and once snapped Ali's head back with a left hook. There was no bounce in Ali's legs as the bell clanged.
We have had many phone calls, complaints coming in, asking how many rounds each fighter has won. We'd like to advise you that under the order of the court, we are allowed to give only 50-word summaries between rounds and must stick just to that summary from the Associated Press, Reuters, or United Press International.
Now,
we cannot give
this.
You any other information.
And let me say this, Chuck.
Following the fight.
The people right there don't know because the judges and the referee keep their voting a secret. The people watching at Madison Square Garden have no idea of what the voting is. Of course, they are watching it, and they can make up their own mind, and the writers covering it can make up their decisions, but they don't mean a thing. It's the judges, the two judges and the referee in New York State who will make that decision, and they will not give that decision until the fight is over. If the fight goes 15 rounds, it looks like now it's well on its way to going. of 15 rounds, but they don't know either, so I don't know how anybody could be complaining.
Well, since we are restricted in our coverage, we give you the information we can under the order of the court. We'd like to remind you, however, that directly following the broadcast tonight, we are going to have a big roundtable, and you're going to find out exactly what happened and why. And Don Crickey and Van Patrick, Bob Considine, and a group are going to come over and sit around and give us a first-hand opinion and a first-hand report on everything that happened. It should be one of the best post-fight broadcasts, Van, we've ever had, because everybody, I think, will be waiting to try to find out what happened and why it happened. And that's, I think, I like critiques sometimes a lot more than I do the actuals. I just soon sit back and hear somebody do a commentary. Not that I guess I do. I want to find out what happened. I want to see if it agreed with what I saw or what I heard.
You know, that's a funny thing, too, you know, talking about what you saw. And there again, you go, if you're watching the fight, you can be 9 rounds off in your picking of the fight. I mean, of how you scored that round in relation to the judges scoring of a round or the referee scoring. As a matter of fact, the judges themselves are way apart sometime, but in New York State, and the New York Boxing Commission, under Commissioner Dooley, has some very fine officials, and they do an outstanding job in this state.
Well, did you ever go to a fight in your life when the thing was over with that you didn't hear some people applaud and some people boo?
No, I've never been to any sporting event.
That's right, because a lot of people see things differently from where they are. And that's why they have referees, and that's why they have judges right up front.
And horse races.
We were talking about great fighters before. If I were to ask you, Van Patrick, who is the greatest fighter you've ever seen, or based on the record book, which I know you know very well, who's the greatest fighter of all time? Who would it be?
Joe Louis.
Joe Louis.
Joe Louis.
No way out of it.
Well, I didn't see some of those fellas that you watched, Jack Johnson and Bob Fitzsimmons and some of those fellas, but I did see Joe Louis, and I saw a lot of his fights, and actually, he's the greatest fighter.
Are they bartenders up in Pleasantville? Their name sounded familiar for a moment or two.
No, but he actually is, and he's one of the greatest human beings, too, that I've ever met.
He's been ill lately.
Right. As a lot of people know, he's been in the psychiatric hospital. But you know, you talk to him, and he's at the fight tonight. He's at ringside. Mm-hmm. And I saw him just recently. And they held a big dinner for him in Detroit just a couple of months ago, and Bill Cosby was the MC, and they raised a lot of money for Joe Louis. But, you know, you just wonder how much money Louis could have made today had he been fighting. In round 14, Muhammad Ali had the edge in the 14th round, landing punches off the top of Frazier's head as Frazier took punches in an effort to get inside and land a big wallop. Joe had a slight cut alongside his right eye. Frazier also had a swelling above his left eye. We've got one more round to go at Madison Square Garden.
And that's how things stood at the end of round 14.
Got one more round to go at Madison Square Garden, and Chuck and I sit here in the studios in New York, in the Mutual Network studios, where it's 29 degrees outside and a few snow flurries. And, you know, I'm just about as excited as those folks who are at ringside now wondering what's going to happen, because it does look like the fight's going to go 15 rounds. And just judging by what we've been able to got from our wire service reports, I'm just glad I'm not one of the judges.
That's right. And when we conclude after the 15th round, if it goes the full 15 without a TKO or a knockout in the 15th, we then, Van and I, will go back and sift through those round-by-round reports again and then bring you up to date on exactly what happened and how it happened. And then at the Statler Hilton Hotel in New York City, Mutual microphones are there. And Bob Considine, Don Crickey, and many of the celebrities of the sports world are coming to the Mutual microphone. And in our post-show, we'll go over with you, in critique form, in practically blow-by-blow after the fact, what happened, at least as they saw it. It'll be very interesting tonight, regardless of how this comes out, Van, to take a man like Don Crickey and also Bob Considine, and when they tell us, Tim Ryan, too, let them, from their vantage point, I'll bet there'll even be a difference in what they have to report. Talking about reports before about how some people see one thing and some people see another.
Well, you know, and if this fight ends in a decision, and it appears now that it might, what a rematch they're going to have. And you asked me a while ago if I thought they would ever have
a gate to rival this one, and it's possible that it could. It's according to what type of fight the two had tonight, and I'm sure that there'll be a rematch regardless. I don't think either fighter, although they've said that this may be their last fight, they've got enough money now after this one, they'll retire, but you can almost be certain they'll fight again, especially for paydays like this.
Do you think there are any other two fighters around today in the heavyweight class who could command this type of gait as these two? Answer that after I tell you, Van, and remind everyone again that we are not at ringside.
There's a shortage of fighters, as you know, and they're just fortunate, the promoters, to have two men like Clay and Frazier. And here it is, Joe Frazier outpointed Muhammad Ali tonight and retained the heavyweight championship of the world. The last round started with Ali going for Frazier's head with lefts and rights. Frazier dropped Ali with a left hook to the jaw. Ali got up at the count of four but had to take the mandatory eight count. Frazier went after Ali with rights and lefts, and Ali wobbled to the ropes. Ali was shook by a hard left hook to the jaw, and he hung on desperately. And Ali's right jaw was swollen, and the right side of his face had ballooned. His jaw may have been broken. Frazier pounded away at the swollen jaw. Ali was staggered as the fight ended, a very big round for Frazier, and Joe Frazier has outpointed Muhammad Ali tonight and retained the heavyweight championship of the world at Madison Square Garden.
We'll be back in a moment with a recap of that most exciting 15th round.
Say, Mr. Motorist, have you discovered that the North Star can be your guide to greater motoring economy and pleasure? I'm referring, of course, to Revlin's North Star Service Station across from the courthouse in Faribault.
Repeating, Joe Frazier outpointed Muhammad Ali tonight, retained the heavyweight championship of the world, and I think that 15th round bears repeating, Joe.
Man, that was a beauty.
The last round started with Muhammad Ali going for Frazier's head with lefts and rights. It could be that Clay figured maybe he had to score a knockout to win the fight. Frazier dropped Ali with a left hook to the jaw. Ali got up at the count of four, but he had to take the mandatory eight count. Frazier went after Ali with rights and lefts, and Ali wobbled to the ropes. Ali was shook by a hard left hook to the jaw. He hung on desperately. Ali's right jaw was swollen, and the right side of his face had ballooned. His jaw may have been broken. Frazier pounded away at the swollen jaw, and Ali was staggered as the fight ended. A big round for Frazier, and here's more.
Here's more. It's a first loss as a pro for Ali, who was deposed as heavyweight champion for refusing Army induction. Both he and Frazier went into the fight unbeaten. Frazier knocked Ali down in the 15th round for the only knockdown of the fight. And Ali was badly hurt in that round. He barely hung on to the finish, his face badly swollen. Frazier weighed in at 205 and one-half pounds. Ali today, 215. Van?
Joe Frazier buried a myth to remove the only stain on his world heavyweight crown, laying the ghost of Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, to rest with a vicious barrage of left hooks that smashed the challenger's jaw, dumped him to the canvas in the 15th round, and he took a unanimous 15-round decision at Madison Square Garden. And there we have the first report on how the judges voted. It'll be coming in on our UPI, AP, and Reuters, and we'll give you how the judges voted, how the referees scored the fight. But that 15th round must have been a dandy tonight for Joe Frazier, and he must be a happy young man tonight.
Go ahead. Excuse me, Van. I just want to remind our listeners that no longer are we in the past tense as far as the presentation of the rounds are concerned. Any information coming into our newsroom from our mutual correspondents or from the wires of AP, UPI, or Reuters will be delivered to our desk, and you'll be given that news immediately as it happens. And we will continue in 1 minute.
Chuck, you were just talking about the fact that no champion has ever come back to win the heavyweight title, to recapture it, and the same thing happened tonight. Cassius Clay came back, but he did not win his heavyweight title back. We're sure that millions of Americans will share Mutual's gratitude to Andy Granatelli, president of STP, for his appreciation of the great public interest in this broadcast tonight and for helping to make it available to the public and to our armed forces overseas as our broadcast has been transmitted on the American Forces Network all over the world, as well as being broadcast over some 600 radio stations in America.
As you know, tonight's broadcast will continue with a special post-fight broadcast
Well, we're going to hear a story and a great story from the Mutual men in the field.
Yes, let's go now to Don Creaky. Don, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, what about the fight?
Well, Van, it was very much a Joe Frazier night. There was no question that he was the winner, and I would have to express a great deal of surprise, as did most of the 19,500 at the Garden, that referee Arthur Mercanic had scored 8-6-1 even. One judge had it 11-4. But it's one of the most remarkable things about Ali after the layoff is the amount of punishment he took. He constantly was battered round after round, and those body punches with Bonavena thought would ultimately prove the difference and bring his guard down and ultimately result in a KO did not occur. Ali was able to sustain the attack from Frazier. And at the end of the fight, Joe Frazier was badly battered about the face. He'd taken the left hands from Ali. But I think in a general summation of the fight, there's no question that Muhammad Ali lost something in the 3.5 years that he was away. He doesn't have the speed he had. But it was a lot tougher fight when he got down close to Joe Frazier than it appeared from a distance, because Frazier was badly chopped up. Bob Considine of Mutual is also with us. And Bob, your observations.
Well, it was one of the most unusual fights I've ever seen, Don. There were long periods there where I wondered whether it was might be questioned later by the New York State Athletic Commission and by the people who paid money for it all the way to Pakistan or someplace. There's no question about the winner. Joe Frazier pressed the fight throughout. Ali fought a strictly defensive fight. But I must say, as you just mentioned, Joe was pretty puffed up toward the end, and I'm not sure how he'll do with that, whether he'll be the belle at the ball at that $30 plate dinner here tonight, wherever it is in New York, if he shows. But he was the master tonight. He was completely unimpressed by Muhammad Ali's punching power, and at one point in the fight just held his hands down and invited Muhammad to hit him. I've never thought Clay, as I insist on calling him, ever had much of a punch, really. And I think that several of his fights were suspect, notably one over Sonny Liston. I must give him credit. He fought back gamely tonight when all seemed lost, and on several occasions he came out fresher after a bad beating in the previous round than he... even the fellow who had given him the beating. It was a good fight, I thought, and their return match will be announced at noon tomorrow, I understand. I'm not sure.
I think we're going to have one. There's no question. I think it was interesting, Bob, that you pointed out certain areas of the fight were suspect. I think you almost had to expect Ali to come off the ropes. When he, time and again, he was against the ropes, he put his hands on Frazier. He held for 10 rounds, really, and you were always waiting for him to explode with a combination of punches, which really never came. He was hurt badly in the 11th round.
I thought so.
He buckled, was wobbly towards the end of the round, but in the 12th round, he was remarkably composed again.
Yes, he was.
He's a superb athlete, there's no question about it.
Well, he's still a very good athlete, and I thought he was in very good shape. Tonight, he had the advantage of 10 pounds of weight and, 6 inches of reach, and made full use of him. But what amazed me was that he would lean against the ropes and give the most feeble punches back and yet be able to protect himself for long periods in 3 or 4 rounds there. And I wondered, I've seen more savage fighting around ropes.
It was only
injury, I would say. He's suffering from a very bad case of third degree rope burns.
It was rather docile around the ropes. There was a great deal of infighting. I think Ali has a remarkable ability of protecting himself. He had a 4-inch height advantage, 6'3 to 5'11.
Yeah.
And I guess his reach advantage was somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 inches, or 6.5 inches.
No, there was nothing docile about that left hook in the 15th.
He went down hard, and he hit his head. I was amazed that he bounced up like he did, hopped up like a greyhound. But the one thing about Frazier is relentless pursuit, and I would think just from a standpoint of how he took the fight to L.A., he was fighting the whole time, Joe Frazier. There were times when he wasn't as effective as at others, but he was always throwing punches. Oh, he did. He seldom did.
He did 80% of the fighting tonight. I don't know what the union rules are in this peculiar arrangement of $2.5 million each, but I think he deserves more money than out of the $5 million pot than Muhammad Ali, because he did more work.
Well, for $2.5 million each, you can get Considine and Cricky in there tomorrow night.
I would think it would be a valid rematch, and I must say that the promoters share my thoughts on this.
Bob will be coming back to the Statler Hilton in downtown New York, across the street from Madison Square Garden, in a minute.